Three, two, one. Well, welcome, guys. I hope you had a good week. We're going to jump into this pretty quickly, but I want to do a little process check. You know, I'm going to talk for about 10 minutes, and then we're going to have a 20-minute table discussion, and then we're going to find out what happened at the tables for about 10 minutes, and then for 5 minutes, we're going to pray at the tables. So we'll have you out of here hopefully in about 45 minutes. So you know, the card that's on the table is really what we use here, truth and lies. So I want you to pick up your card and turn to the lie side. You'll know it's the lie side because it says lie on the top of it. That's why we call it the lie side. There is nothing wrong with a few guilty pleasures. And I got to tell you, this came from a direct quote from a very, very godly couple that we were having dinner with. And they're like role models. We just look up to them. And they started telling us one night about their guilty pleasures. And it was just like, who in the world are you? You know, my view of you is just crushed, you know. And so anyway, it made me start to think about those things that we kind of put in a corner and go, you know, God really has nothing to do with that. But everything else in every other corner and every wall and every side, every ceiling and every floor is all about Jesus. So what are the things in your corner? And sometimes they represent our brokenness, and we really don't know that. So that's kind of where we're going. The title of what we're doing today is Okay with Brokenness? So number one, when I blank or when I blanked, I was trying to protect my child from blank. So think back in the raising of your children. It could be yesterday. It could be 10 years ago. How would you fill in those blanks? Number two, when it appears that God is breaking another man, I naturally want to help him minimize it. To minimize it, true or false? And then number three, when the standard of Jesus is held high in my life, I often say, easier said than done, true or false? So flip the card over and let's look at the scripture. This is out of Matthew 10. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And those are the words of Jesus. And then in Luke 11:13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So those are both very thought-provoking. And I guess my question is, are you okay with brokenness? Or do you fight it? Do you live your life to avoid brokenness? You do everything you possibly can to control life like that's even possible. Control, by the way, is an illusion. To avoid broken situations in your life, brokenness that was designed or allowed by God or caused by God to bring you to a closer place with him. And when I think about being okay with brokenness, I equate it to being excited about going to the dentist to get a slow, painful root canal. You know, I don't jump up and down about that. Mm. You know, you may not, you may be weird and really look forward to that. Have you ever prayed for brokenness? Now, I've never prayed that for me, but I've prayed it for my sons. And if you've never had a teenager, you don't know what I'm talking about. But there are times where your understanding of the value of brokenness becomes much greater as you watch somebody you love make some bad decisions. And there are consequences to bad decisions. And I want to talk specifically about number two, when it appears that God is breaking another man, I naturally want to help minimize it. Tozier, who's a famous Christian author, said this, "Woe to the man who stands in the way of another man's brokenness." Woe to the man who stands in the way of another man's brokenness. Remember, healing is the goal. God may be dealing with someone on some particular issue, and you try to jump in the middle and go, wait a minute, that's going to be painful. Careful. I think of, you know, situations where I've known men that had been unfaithful in their marriage, and somebody gives them the counsel, you need to tell your wife. And other men in the room give the counsel, she'll divorce you. Don't do that. Woe to the man who stands in the way of another man's brokenness. Truth will set you free. Peace, according to me, quite frankly, is the wrinkle-free life where it all goes my way. If I had my druthers back in the 90s, I would have remained national sales director of a pharmaceutical company. I would have never gone into ministry, but I would, the trade-off of that, I would have continued to travel for about 100 nights out of the year. My kids were middle school and high school at that time. The fact that I lost that job caused me to be more involved in their lives because I was around more, even though we thought we were doing a good job managing through all that travel. You know, and that's the way we see it. We want this wrinkle-free life, and we want things to remain the way we want them to remain. But then there's peace according to Jesus. And that looks like this. Rest in the midst of the storm. Rest in the midst of the storm. My oldest son started losing weight, started throwing up 10, 15 times a day, lost 75 pounds. That went on for 15 months. You know, I mean, there were times where we just wanted to drive off a cliff because it was so painful watching him go through that. But God sustained us through that and gave us rest in the midst of that storm. I remember when Christy was standing in the kitchen and she was mopping the floor and she told me, oh, the doctor called. I definitely have breast cancer. You know, and I saw on her face rest in the midst of her mortality, you know, and that was encouraging and inspiring to me. So a counselor once told me it is healthiest to name your brokenness, to just name it, you know. One of my triggers is I get really upset when I feel misunderstood. When I feel misunderstood, it just frustrates me to no end because I try to communicate in a way very simply where people can understand what I'm trying to say. And I'll over-communicate. And when I get misunderstood, that just drives me crazy. That's part of my brokenness. And sometimes that gets in the way of relationships because, you know what? Sometimes I'm going to be misunderstood. Remember, again, healing is the goal. So we're to embrace our brokenness and not fight God on it. He's allowed that to happen for some purpose in your life. Dusty Doran said this to me some years ago. Understanding is not required for obedience. Understanding unfolds in the experience. I'll say it again. Understanding is not required for obedience. Understanding unfolds in the experience. And just remember that these verses tell us the truth that Jesus came to shake things up. And God has given you everything that you need through the person of the Holy Spirit. So let's go to the tables, spend 20 minutes, have fun. We'll be back.